We're just sinners saved by grace. Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace.
All right. I'm going to try something a little different this morning. And some of you may never have seen one of these, and you probably just as well if you haven't. For the young people, young guys, if you're looking for a woman, don't go play in one of these. It's not going to work. In 1943, my father-in-law, who's sitting right over here, walked into Viner Music in Bangor, Maine, and ordered this very instrument. And it was, they didn't have one in stock, so he bought it in mail order for $21. I will tell you, it took me 10 times that amount to restore it. So. But for those of you who don't know, it's an auto harp. It's used a lot in Appalachian music, and it's a love of mine. I love that kind of music. I've recruited some lovely ladies to help me with the vocals, and of course, our outstanding band, Seth on mandolin this morning. Didn't even know he could play it. All right, this song's Take Your Shoes Off, Moses, written back in the 60s by a bluegrass guy. So, you guys ready? I am the Lord thy God. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Burning bush, at the burning bush. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. For I am the Lord thy God. So go yonder, Moses, and smite that rock. Smite that rock. Smite that rock. Go yonder, Moses, and smite that rock. For I am the Lord thy God. Shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. For I am the Lord thy God.
Go, Andrew.
Still, Moses, watch salvation work. Salvation work, watch salvation work. Stand still, Moses, watch salvation work. For I am the Lord thy God. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground.
Last week talking about the FBI, the facts, the belief, the interpretation of what it is that you and I believe in, that we make our decisions based on, and we're going to carry on with that theme this morning. If you have your Bible, we are in Genesis chapter 2. We will be reading verses 21 through 25. If you're using a pew Bible, that is page number 8, the very first part of your Bible, Genesis 2, 21 through 25. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would allow us to understand it, that we would be convicted by the facts that we see in it, that it would guide our belief system, and as we take the facts and the belief and we interpret them, we would apply it to a life that pleases you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to throw out two other verses for you found in Genesis chapter 2 regarding relationship. Relationship is extremely important. Verse number 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse number 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Relationship verses. Faith is essential. Say that with me. Faith is essential. Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at last week. Without faith, is it impossible? It is impossible to please him. I want you to know this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice, anyone that hears this message online or whatever, I'm telling you, you will never have all the answers. It is not possible on this side of eternity to understand everything that God has in mind when he's working. He's God. We are not. He's in charge. We are not. Sometimes we operate as some agencies say, on a need-to-know basis. And God looks at us and he says, "You know what? I could tell you the answer to that, but I'm not going to. I know the answer. You do not. And you're going to have to accept this by faith." And there comes a time where you and I, in our relationship with God Almighty and his Son Jesus Christ, if we don't understand it, we can look at a loving Heavenly Father and say, "I don't get it, but I trust you. I still believe in you, and I'm putting my faith in you." Does that make sense? So that's where we are many times in the life that we lead. There is a tremendous battle going on in the world today, and it has always been. This is nothing new. Some of the struggles that you and I see in society are not new. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. And we are warned in 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Say that with me. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What's the faith? The faith in Jesus Christ. The faith that God is in charge. I believe the most miserable person in America today is the conservative that does not have a relationship with God Almighty. He's losing his mind. He has no comfort that God is in control. If it wasn't for the fact that I know that God is in charge, I'd be going crazy. And I'm sad to say, some of the things we see going on is that person that can no longer take it. They see society coming apart. They see what's going on. It is just agonizing for them to watch, and they're looking for some way to get back. And a lot of times, and sometimes, not a lot of times, on rare occasions, you'll see someone stepping outside of the norm of society to try to make a statement. And it's that frustrated individual. Christian, you don't need to be frustrated this morning. God's got this. God's got this. It'll be okay. And whatever the results are, how many days? 16 days. Whatever the results are in 16 days, God's not going to say, "Oh, I didn't see that coming. What a shocker. I didn't know that was going to happen." There's never been an aha moment with God. Never happened. You can trust him. So we can resist the devil by faith. Obviously, we talked about facts, belief, interpretation. It's those initials that determine what we do. And so it's election time. There are two opposing points of view. I had this in my message last week. Didn't mention it. Brother Paul LaQuinn's here this morning, Bruce, and I'm not saying that because he's here. It was in my notes. There are two beliefs going on in America today, and this just illustrates the facts, the belief, the interpretation. Based on what you believe, you see America is slowly destroying the planet and needs to make drastic changes no matter what the cost. That's what's going on right now. All of the decisions that we're making on energy, on society, on control is honestly, people, it's because you folks are a plague and we need to control you. And a lot of people are fine with that. They believe this. This is their belief in their vote, their actions, all of our farm fields being filled with solar panels. That's for a design to save the planet. I'm an old fuel oil guy. I believe in drilling, producing, working. There is another belief. Obviously, we've got those that believe we're destroying the planet. There's another one. America is going through a needless hardship that can easily handle if government would step out of the way and let people do what they know how to do. That is another belief. I fall in that second camp, okay? Now, that's just politics, and politics affects life, so that's why I'm mentioning it. But you can see how you believe determines how you interpret the facts. Isn't that true? You following me on this? Do this number. It would help us move along with the message, okay? Okay? How we believe determines how we interpret the facts. And I said it last week, I'll say it again. In the courts of law, you've got the prosecution, you've got the defense. They're all given the same exact facts in the case to present to the jury, but depending on how they interpret those facts will determine what they believe innocent or guilty. They're all looking at the same exact data. It's just whatever lawyer can convince the jury one way or another to interpret the facts. I want you to know this morning, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, based on this book right here, there is only one way to live, and that is by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I believe that. That is my belief that shapes the facts. Now, there are others that think there are other ways to believe. We were at Walmart yesterday. You know, if you want to visit the church, just go to Walmart, you know. We see all our people at Walmart, you know? So we're at Walmart yesterday, though, and we're out in the parking lot and waiting. We just happened to be behind a car with had all kinds of witchcraft symbols on the back of the car. Well, I'm not going to talk about that this morning, but you could see where their belief was. It's in that. My belief is not in that. I believe that they could live a better, freer life if they trusted Christ as their personal Savior. But that's where they had invested their faith, their belief in that sort of thing. And it's very real. Don't get me wrong. It's real. Satan is real. The lies that he comes up with are real. People have sold their soul for fascism, communism, and all of the isms out there. Humanism. They believe in that stuff. Destroys lives. That's where they're investing. So here I am this morning talking to you about a belief system that makes sense to me, wish the whole world would believe it. I don't understand why everyone is not a Christian. Shocks me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. If you take notes this morning, put down Ephesians 5, 13 through 17. We won't look at the whole passage, but verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." You know, it's a foolish thing. Says, be not unwise. In other words, don't be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When I was young, growing up and going to a Christian school, high school, one of the things that was constantly dangled before us, God's will, God's will, God's will, God's will. And it was our pursuit. We were told to pursue what God's will is for our lives. It's extremely important. And when we are wise, we want to understand what God's will is for our life and pursue that. It is my desire to live in the will of God. In other words, to spend my life doing what God wants me to do. Number one, I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm good friends with Wendell Calder, and every now and then he'll tell me something that he wants me to do. And I'll say to him, I'll say, well, I guess I'll pray about that. And he says, you don't need to pray about that. I'm telling you what you need to do. So, you know, so this morning, stealing from Wendell, you don't need to pray about this. I'm telling you what you need to do to be in God's will. Number one, you need to believe in him. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Say that with me. In the beginning, God. If you're willing to accept the first four words of the Bible, the rest is easy. But when you want to dismiss God or come up with your own plans, life is going to fall all apart. See, remember with the facts and the belief and the interpretation, what happens? If you believe a certain thing and you try to put the facts into your belief and it's not working, that creates agony in a life. That creates chaos. You can't seem to make it work, so you just try harder. It's a typical illustration of a liberal politician. They're just constantly trying to do something that's broken. And rather than fix it, they just dump more money into it. Ronald Reagan had great illustrations on all of that stuff. I should have brought a few with me. But here we are this morning, and I'm telling you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So creation, 6 days of creation, recorded in Genesis chapter 1. You know what? There's no way to prove that. Now, science can help us. We think the facts and the belief add up and work and for the 6 days of creation. I'm not bothered by that at all. But I wasn't there when he did it. The evolutionist wasn't there over billions of years. We both take our philosophy of the existence of the earth by faith, either in evolution or in creation. I invest in creation, and I think I can take the facts of science on creation and make it work. The evolutionist keeps changing the format. They add a few more billion years. They just figure eventually, if I add enough time to this thing, eventually it'll work. I'll tell you what, evolution will never work. It never will. And so here we are, and we're trying to make, number one, if you want to be in God's will, you need to believe in him. You know, the fact is, anyone can believe in God. God gave us the faith. He gave us the ability. You'd like to think that here we are at the Cornerstone Baptist Church, we are exceptional individuals. Man, oh man. And, you know, sad to say, some Christians do act a little bit elitist. They do. Stop it. There's nothing special about us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. There's nothing special about us, but thank God we are Christians. Now, the fact is once we put our faith in the Lord, we are sons of God. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but this is it. Anyone has the faith to believe in Jesus Christ and God Almighty if they choose to. The key is most people, sad to say, most people choose not to. They think it's a raw deal. They think it's too controlling. Satan gives them a whole bunch of lies, and they choose not to follow the Lord. And oh my word, as a believer, that is heartbreaking. Isn't that true? It's heartbreaking when you see someone that it's so simple to trust Christ and they refuse to do it. If you want to be in God's will, number one, you need to believe in him. Number two, you need to receive his plan. I've never invented anything. I never have. But I've seen invention, so have you. Everything on the stage has been invented. We got a speaker, we got a mic stand, we got a stand here. All of the stuff was invented, okay? Somebody came up with a brain. It always annoys me when I see an invention. Why didn't I think of that? I could have been rich. But they're usually simple ideas that someone puts together. Andrew, you and I use tools that are so simple. Why didn't we think of that? We don't. So here we are. And so someone makes I've never seen an inventor invent, but they've got this process they're going on. They draw, they make things that it's bad. They make another one and they try to perfect it. But if you walked up to that inventor and you said, what are you trying to invent? They would tell you exactly what they're trying to achieve. Isn't that true? No one's just working with a glob of clay. Hey, what are you making? I have no idea what this will ever be. That's not how God operates. That's not how man operates. And I'll tell you this. When God created you in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and it talks about how God created Adam and God created Eve. And he put them on the earth for a specific purpose. Colossians 1:16, you were made for him and by him. And then you'll notice in Genesis chapter 3, if you're still in Genesis, if you look in verse number 8, Sin had taken place in the first part of Genesis chapter 3. Now God is coming to walk. Watch this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here comes God after they had sinned. They're scared. Did your parents ever come home after you'd done something wrong and you knew this isn't going to be good? My father... Have I got time for this? Probably not, but I'll do it anyway. My father bought this brand new, back in the day, we were like, Floyd was 4 years older than me, two boys. Micah, do your boys ever fight? Never. Yeah. There's something about boys, is that testosterone in them. They have to show their superiority over the other boy under the same roof. And it was just, and I'd always lose because my brother was older and bigger. But anyway, so... We're in the living room. Dad had just bought out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now I'm dating myself on that. This brand new recliner and a lamp stand with a shelf on it. And there's this lamp, and Dad wanted to be able to sit in his recliner, put his drink on the lamp stand. The drink would have been coffee or soda pop. Let's not get scared here. He'd put his drink on the lampstand, and he wanted to be able to watch TV with his recliner. That was going to be his little piece of heaven on earth when he came home from work. Well, my brother and I got to fight, and we're that brand new lamp. We crashed into that thing, and we just destroyed it. It was not good. And then when we're trying to put that thing back together, and it wasn't working, and I can see that lamp. As a matter of fact, just within the last month, I put that lamp on the metal pile. It's been over 50 years. I almost wanted to save the lamp, and I thought, no, that needs to go. That's a bad memory. So anyway, we got that thing. I'm getting a hammer, and I'm starting to bang on that thing, trying to fix it. It's starting to dent the metal stand on the bottom with the hammer, and finally we gave up. It was leaning a little bit when we finished, and it was brand new, and Dad came home. And I didn't want to see my father. Adam and Eve have sinned. They knew they'd done wrong. And here comes Dad. The New Testament refers to him that way. And they didn't want to see him, so what'd they do? They hid. Question, Cornerstone, can you hide from God? No, that was not a workable plan, and it wasn't for them. Sin came in. But see, in verse Genesis chapter 3, you've got to see God created you and I for fellowship with him. He wanted to spend time with us, to walk and talk with Adam and Eve. He had plans. And Satan came in and destroyed those plans through the serpent. And I want you to know right now, you and I are created for a relationship with God Almighty, and Satan is constantly trying to get in the way of that process. And you know what? He's very good at it. He's very successful at it. So there is, obviously, to receive his plan, is God created us for a purpose. And I believe God reveals that purpose through his word, through other believers, through circumstances that we encounter. And he puts in our path the understanding of what we need to do to fulfill the plan that he has for us. So number one, to be in God's will, you need to believe in him. Number two, you need to receive his plan. Sometimes we'll fight God's plan. As a preacher of the gospel, I want you to know, I fought God's will. I did not want to be here. You know, the greatest thing that I feared about preaching the gospel, honestly, is doing funerals. Funerals kept me from pastoring for as long as I could put it off. The thought of comforting a loved one after a loss is petrifying to me. But I want you to know that God will give you the ability to do what it is that he's called you to do. And if you're here this morning and you sense God's calling in your life, for whatever it is, I have no idea. But if you know God's speaking to you about something and you are afraid of it, have no fear. God will give you the ability. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can become very good at what God has called you to do. So you need to believe in him. You need to receive his plan, which is fellowship with him. And it's also sonship in the family. I become part of the family when I become born again. When I trust Christ as my Savior, we sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You know that song? You do. So usually when I'm singing, she'll say, I've heard that song before, but not like you sing it. So with God's plan, we have fellowship, we have sonship, we become part of God's family. And here's the reference about dad. Romans 8, 14 to 15 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you are not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, if you looked at the original interpretation of that, it would be dad. We cry out, Dad. How many times if you lived in a home, thankfully, with a mom and a dad, how many times when you were young, you cried out, Dad, you wanted help from Dad? I did, many times. Well, we have that opportunity to adopt, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, we can call out to our Heavenly Father in a loving way, and it's not derogatory to call our Heavenly Father Dad. It's a loving term. You wouldn't call him the old man, not if you wanted to live. You wouldn't call him any of those things, but you could call him Dad. It's a term of endearment. My son calls me daddy. I love that. He won't always. Next time he'll be calling for money, but whatever, okay? So here we are. And once I become part of God's family, I am always part of God's family. I'm a Griffin. Can't help it. Born. Paul Griffin, Sr. Mary Griffin, Mary Lufkin. They got married, had kids, three of them. Floyd, Linda, Stanley, I'm the youngest. When you're having kids, and probably a lot of people in this building can relate to this, once you reach perfection with your children, you stop having children. So, me being the youngest, they looked at me and they said, we finally got it figured out. Here I am, okay? My birth certificate says Stanley Harland Griffin. Stanley after my great-grandfather, Griffin's side. Harland after my grandfather, mother's side. Griffin, the family name. I've been mad at my father at times. And I could have, never did, but I could have looked at Dad and said, Dad, I'm all done being a Griffin. I'm through. I'm walking out. I'm leaving like the prodigal son. But you know what? No matter how far the prodigal son went, his dad was still watching him, and he was still of that family. No matter how far I could go away from my father, Paul Griffin, I'd still be his son. I couldn't get away. I bet he'd still be praying for me, hoping I'd come back. But Stan Griffin is a Griffin, is a Griffin, is a Griffin, and I can't help it. It is my lot in life. I can't stop it, though I wouldn't try. But if I wanted to, you have no power over that. I want you to know when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you're asking Him to come into your heart, you become part of the family of God. Now you are Christian. I am Christian. Say that with me. I am Christian. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you haven't, you're not. But if you have, you've trusted Christ, and you truly meant it, you mixed those words with faith, and you asked Christ to come into your heart, now you are a Christian. And no matter what you do, Romans 8 says, I cannot separate myself from the love of God. And it goes through all death, life, powers, bad, good. And it even says, nor any other creature can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What's a creature? I'm a creature. I'm a creation. Okay? I cannot separate myself from God. I don't have power to do that. And I'd like to say, what kind of anemic God couldn't hang on to you? My dad used to be able to grab me if I wanted to get away. It won't happen. Generally, after he grabbed me, you'd hear the slapping coming out of the belt loops of his pants. You know where I'm going with this. And believe me, I tried to get away. You couldn't. And I'm telling you, if you're part of God's family as a Christian, He loves you. He's not letting you get away. Ain't going to happen. He wouldn't be a loving God if He did. So here we are. I've got fellowship. I've got sonship. And we're out of time. But don't be deceived. Satan will come along. And he says, I've got a better plan for you. And the world is buying into this. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan does. And somehow, you would think death and destruction would be something that you'd want to run from. But Satan is so good at hiding it. He had tried this. We've legalized marijuana in Maine. Try this. It's perfectly legal. Christians will say, but Stan, it's okay. It's legal. I don't care what's legal. Smoking is legal. It's not good for you. We've proven that. Alcohol is legal. It's not good for you. We've proven that. Marijuana is legal. It's not good for you. We are proving that. But he's so good at getting you entry-level sins that, and then a little further. I'll tell you what, we always used to say marijuana was just an entry-level drug. What happened to that conversation? It's still an entry-level drug. And people will go on to harder things. And next thing you know, you can't stop. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus, second part of the verse says, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what? Stan Griffin's for the abundant life. I like the freedom I have in Christ. I have no addiction other than my wife. I just like life. Okay? I'm not kidding. I love being a Christian. But Satan is good at deceiving that. You have one of two choices. You can choose loser, Satan, or winner, in Christ. You know, everybody wants to be a winner. Not true? We used to watch cooking shows when we had satellite TV. We don't anymore. But when we did, they'd have these shows and they'd get all these people making cupcakes and all these things. And they'd interview the contestants. And to a man, every one of them. To a woman, every one of them. They'd say, Chef, I didn't come here to lose. I just wanted somebody to say, Chef, I'm just hoping for a strong third place finish. Everybody wants to win. I want you to know something. The fact is this, that Jesus is the only way. By faith, you believe in that. And my interpretation of that is there is no other way. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And I'm telling you this morning that I am pleased to say that I am Christian, and nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I highly recommend it to everyone that I encounter. Heavenly Father.
Where'd Stanley go?
Stan.
Yes.
This is Alex. Alex also wants to join the church.
Okay. So, hang on. Is the mic on? All right. So, Alex wants to join the church. He's been saved, and it looks like he's going to be baptized. And so, if you'd like to accept Alex into the fellowship of our church, and you're a member here, would you let him know with a hearty amen?
Amen.
Anybody opposed? All right. Get him wet, Mark.
Alex, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
Alex, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bear the likeness of Jesus' death. He needs to walk in newness of life.
This doesn't always happen. All right, here we go. So, Ryan, do you know Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mark's going to ask him again. So, Ryan knows Christ as your personal Savior. He's going to be scripturally baptized. If you'd like to accept him into the membership of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, and you are a member here, would you let him know with a hearty amen?
Amen.
Anybody opposed? Let's go.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Sir.
Ryan, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bury the likeness of Jesus again. Raised to walk in you.
Amen.
I get in a little workout so I can handle Regis. You're going to join two Regis? Is that later?
Later.
All right, good. I don't have to make stand. This is Regis Cunningham. Regis, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I do.
Regis, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bury the likeness of Jesus' death.